Wednesday, he said that he is considering the options available, in particularly imploring the Commonwealth nations, which is a which was a group of former British colonies, but now expands to a large number of countries, not all of whom were British colonies. But he is asking the Commonwealth to see what they can do. He said that they're considering the options on the, quote, appalling and abhorrent legislation. But we didn't have any other details from the Canadian government. What we realized is that the information available on Global Affairs Canada about Uganda has not been updated to reflect this legislation. It didn't. We weren't able to identify any kind of press statements or media releases from Global Affairs Canada on this. We did ask them if they have a statement, do they intend to update the travel advice? And what impact this would have on funded projects in Uganda, where there are tens of millions of dollars in Canadian-funded projects in Uganda around sexual health, sexual reproductive health, and rights, with a number of partnering organizations there. We were directed to a separate department when asking about LGBT Ugandans being able to move out of the country. But Canada hasn't really responded to this in the same way that other countries have. The Secretary of State, Blinken, in the United States, very much implored the Ugandan government to not pass this piece of legislation. The press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, said that they are looking into essentially into potential sanctions. A lot of the aid from the United States to Uganda is through the AIDS prevention program. And this this bill very much curtails access to being able to provide preventative care to men having sex with men in Uganda, potentially jeopardizing access to a lot of those that aid. In the UK, MPs are calling on the government to identify a fast-track route for asylum seekers fleeing Uganda as a result of this legislation coming into effect, saying it is, you know, the culmination of a long-standing campaign of persecution against LGBTQ people in Uganda. Now, the president of Uganda has some choice words, essentially saying that the West is attempting to normalize deviance. And that, ironically, he says, you know, these are deviations on the norm. Is this nature? Is this nurture? Where is the evidence? We actually, you know, we've interviewed a great neuroscientist on this who studied the hypothalamus. And there are droves of scientific studies that showing that homosexuality is in the evidence, or you know, in the sort of the large body of scientific research into homosexuality, all of them, not all of them, but the vast majority agree that it is nurture.
It's found in nature, outside of the human species. I mean, that's the easy ones are penguins. What is it? Penguins, dolphins, obviously dolphins, bonobos, lions. Like there's a few very famous examples. But I've been paying attention to news out of Africa for a while now, and around the time the FIFA World Cup was happening, a lot of people, we're referring to a lot of the pride activities at the World Cup as Western cultural pro-colonization, that they view LGBT issues as being colonial in nature, that it is a form of cultural colonization, and that we are trying to undermine African values. I've seen all sorts of talks about that sort of thing, as well as talks about religious conservatism and sort of anti-Westernism to a certain degree. I have seen people saying things like, if we don't get aid, that's not a big deal because we don't really like you people anyway, that kind of thing. There is a lot of work being done for HIV treatment in Africa. So with the HIV angle, within the Eastern African context, HIV is not just a gay male issue. This is true everywhere in the world, but it is definitely just a population level pandemic, basically, that's been going on for about 40 years, and it affects everyone equally. And I believe the last I heard, the most successful group to actually bring aid to Africa were HIV treatment facilities from India, because they're not really seen as being Western, and not a lot of people know there's a relationship between East Africa and India. There's a lot of immigration between the two continents, especially to Mozambique and what's the place that Freddie Mercury's from? Zanzibar, that's it. He's Moroccan. What am I talking about? But yeah, there's a huge Indian population in Zanzibar because it's that old spice trade kind of route. But anyway, so there have been other routes in, and if they're going to cut off the West, the HIV aid is not going to just get cut off like a tap. There will be other venues, but it is going to be seriously curtailed, because they may not trust techniques or medications or methods that are brought in from the West, even if it is through India.
I mean, it's worth noting that I think it's something like $19 million worth of vehicles come from Canada and go to Uganda, you know, vehicle mm-hmm. parts and pieces. Canadians are doing an awful lot of business with Uganda, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're certainly happy to ship their fruits and vegetables here. They're happy mm-hmm. to take our money and take our business, but certainly not the idea that people are born gay, which is fine. But this idea of homosexuality being a Western construct and not something that is African is also being pushed back by Africans.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the most notable things to come out of this was a study done by Open Democracy, which is a registered company, but they're owned by the Open Democracy Foundation in the UK. And they researched the role that American United States evangelist organizations have in Africa. And of the $54 million that was spent by evangelist organizations in Africa, half of that was in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
the American evangelizing is really at an astonishing level in Uganda.
Yeah.
And
they're also, by the way, attributed to being one of the reasons why parts of sub-Saharan Africa do not trust Western medicine, was that a lot of these American evangelists would go and bring weird remedy kind of don't trust vaccine messaging with them. The whole point of science is that you should question it. This whole narrative of don't question the science. Science is there to be questioned. But you should also listen to the answer. And there is – they brought that deny science attitude and not the, you know, look at the evidence before you believe something aspect of science. So there has been huge issues in parts of Africa where treatments have just been abandoned halfway through. There was I think it was Red Nile disease. They were trying to treat that. I think it was Red Nile. And a lot of the medications just ended up getting abandoned because people just started distrusting Western medicine after a while because of the evangelists. It's a real issue. It's they're using Western interference talking points in order to curtail Western interference. And fair enough, there's a lot of countries around the world that are concerned about Western interference, but I don't think this is the way. Like, you're not – this is not the way. That's all I can say about that. And unfortunately, many of the neighboring nations are not necessarily safe havens. This is one of the things that we've talked about before when we're talking about Ukraine, that a lot of the people fleeing the Ukraine, a lot of them – end up going to the US or Canada or UK and end up going back to somewhere like Romania or Moldova, which is close to Ukraine and culturally more similar. They can assimilate better. They're more likely to speak a common language. If you look at the neighboring countries of Uganda, you get Kenya, the Congo, Mozambique, not a lot of countries that are known for human rights for homosexuality onto themselves. So it really does seem like there's just a regional issue that is bigger than this story,
mm-hmm.
although this story is making it worse.
There was a, I believe, an interview on, I want to say, The Current on the CBC. And I think it was the speaker there from the Human Rights Watch was saying that this is frankly just low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. This is a distraction technique. You know, this is people, this is a country where members of the military raid people who criticize the president on Twitter. And, you know, the extra, you know, illegal arrests are widespread. Human Rights Watch was able to point to a whole slew of things, corruption, police brutality, none of which are as much of a priority as this legislation's attempt at introducing. There was one member of parliament in Uganda who suggested that life imprisonment was not enough for gay men who existed in Uganda, and that castration should be introduced to the bill. It was not introduced to the bill, and it was not passed. However, life imprisonment remains on the bill. It is expected to be signed by Museveni anytime soon. And, yeah, we'll see what happens next. What role does Canada play here? I don't know. But the irony that I found was that on the High Commission in Nairobi, Kenya, the Canadian High Commission there, which is responsible for, amongst other countries, Uganda, their banner image is celebrating sexual and gender diversity. And yet they are mum on what is now the most heinous anti-gay law in the world being introduced in Uganda. So I will add that that ironic misfortune to the global affairs when they get back to us.
Kenya is nestled between Uganda and Somalia. I don't think they want to rock the boat on certain political issues.
We'll see what they say. We're going to be playing now with It's Not Up to Me, the unplugged version by the Hyenas. And we will be back just after this. La, la, la. La, la, la. La, la, la. La, la, la. It's not up to me to come running to you whenever you're in distress. At the back call of a wrecking ball, you make my life a mess. Not gonna tuck my tail between my legs and run. Not gonna stop and freeze. Consider what's been done. La la la. La la la. Undermined to see my escape, not mild or meek, just too tired to speak. Twisted words so aimless. To your disbelief, it's not up to me to make you famous. Not gonna tuck my tail between my legs and run. Not gonna stop and consider what's been done. I'm gonna fight you for the crimes that you have served. Anger's come along to deliver what's deserved. Who's going now? Welcome back to Canqueer, your home of Canada's queer medium. My name is Luke Smith. And Sebastian is waiting to join the conversation. There we go.
Hello, I'm here. I did not mute myself and forget to unmute. I don't know what you're talking about.
That is exactly what you did. I wanted to mention that I forgot to say earlier that 260 Ugandans in Toronto met up on Sunday in a solidarity meeting against the new anti-gay act in Uganda. They had Toronto Centre MPP Kristen Wong-Tam and the Reverend Brant Hawkes joining them. They have a press conference planned for Friday. Hopefully we'll be able to make it there, as well as a demonstration on Sunday, April 2nd at Dundas Square in Toronto. A huge number of Ugandans very quickly mobilizing to address this unbelievably hateful legislation in Uganda. Now, last week we spoke about efforts by a lawsuit against Grindr by a Nova Scotia man filed in, I think it was LA or somewhere like that. And one of the things that it sort of hinged on was whether or not Grindr was sufficiently doing enough to age verify its users, knowing these two facts separately. Fact one, that underage users were using Grindr, a male gay hookup app. And also fact B, that there were known to be predators using Grindr, targeting particularly younger gay men. So that with this information, they ought to have taken reasonable steps, such as more explicit age verification. Now, whether or not this is related to that lawsuit that got filed remains to be seen. But this week, Grindr was in the news for what appears to be a very good news story.
Okay.
And that is that Grindr has paired up, I've already lost the page, they've paired up with a organization in the USA to provide free HIV home tests. They're introducing a free HIV home test button in the United States, and then they will be able to send you a free HIV test to help tackle the growing rates of HIV infection in the United States. Now, in and of itself, that is excellent news, because one of the reasons why HIV continues to spread is simply from people not being aware of whether or not they have HIV. You may have HIV and not have the symptoms that are evident or obvious, and then inadvertently pass them along to others. In Canada, not knowing is not an excuse in the law. You have an obligation to take your medical health seriously and be tested. HIV tests in Canada, I believe, are free. So it's not an issue here. But in the United States, I don't think it is as free in as many places. So this is, on the face of it, good news. And I had mentioned to you...
Why are you saying on the face of it?
I mean, it is good news. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is good news. Good job, Grindr.
Okay.
Tackling HIV spread by, you know, sending out free HIV tickets.
Well, you know, they're also in the news for another reason.
Well, they also sent a nationwide alert to Egypt.
Yes.
Because there were reports of, I think it's like over 150 occasions when the Egyptian police have effectively entrapped gay men in using Grindr, as well as Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram. But essentially, Grindr issued a notice to everybody in Egypt that uses Grindr, saying that the Egyptian authorities were hacking into real accounts in order to attract other gay men in Egypt. So I think I'd mentioned that before, because this is not the first time that Grindr has issued a health notice to a whole area. This is a nationwide notice in Egypt. Was that the story you were talking about?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah. This is a very different approach. They have been accused of being a security cesspool in the past. Or a leaky bucket, I guess you could say, with regards to data. However it was that they were hacked, although it could have just been that they forced access to an arrested individual's accounts. But this is the right approach. They're doing a good thing here by sort of announcing, by the way, there's a honeypot scheme. Watch out when you're on the app. Which could hurt the bottom line in terms of eyes looking at advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, that's the right thing to do.
It was.
And I'm proud of them.
It is good news. I do think the fact that they are facing a serious lawsuit about the ease of access of underage boys accessing Grindr and the prevalence of some people taking advantage of that fact. You know, are those two things connected? Maybe, maybe not, but we'll see. Now, I did have a Church of England update as well.
Ooh.
Now, we've spoken a few times essentially about whether or not there will be a schism in the Church of England. This is because a large number of African archbishops essentially said they no longer have faith in the Archbishop of Canterbury, the first among equals of the primates of the Anglican Church, with the gist of the issue being that the Anglican Church in most of the West Europe, North America, are keen to enable same-sex marriages. The Anglican Church, the Church of England in Africa, is very, very, very keen on that not being the case, essentially, potentially tearing the church asunder. Now, this is not being helped by members of the British Parliament. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but in Britain, the Church of England in the area that you reside, in your riding, has a legal obligation to marry you if requested.
Oh.
Yeah, they can't just opt out of marrying you. However, the Same-Sex Marriage Act in Britain specifically carved out exemptions in law for the Church of England. So every other church has to marry people in Britain, with the exception of the Church of England, because of the carve-out in law. Well, with the Church of England continuing to drag its feet on same-sex marriage, being now the only institution in the UK that does not conduct same-sex marriages, the British government, or rather members of Parliament, not necessarily the government, are exploring changes to the law to essentially remove these protections from the Church of England and thereby make the decision for them.
They're removing an exception, which is very different from forcing them. If everyone is forced, then you're in there with them. Yeah. That sounds like a Henry VIII age kind of law, that you have to get married if you ask your local church and they can't turn you aside for whatever reason. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's an oldie law for sure. Oldie timey law. Yeah. Yeah, that's the vibe I get. Oldie timey law. These are things that happen. Yeah. The other update is in the UK, the Scottish Nationalist Party in the Scottish government passed a bill essentially making self-identification on gender identity possible with gender recognition certificates. Now, this is the practice already in a number of countries, including Ireland and I believe Norway and Sweden, and Scotland was going to follow through. The British government, for the first time in its history, used Section 35, of the Scotland Act to block the Gender Recognition Reform Bill. Shortly after that, the leader of the Scottish Nationalist Party resigned in a bit of a shock move. Nicola Sturgeon stepped aside, and if you recall that happening, there was a big debate in Scotland, a real schism of left and right values within what is typically a left-wing party, the Scottish Nationalist Party. It ended up being Humza Yousaf has now been confirmed as the leader of the new Scottish National Party. And he plans to challenge Westminster's use of Section 35. I think there was about 51,000 people who voted in the poll between him and the other contender. And he had 26,000 and she had 20,000. She is a by-the-books Christian, opposed this particular law. I think she had unpopular things to say on gay marriage in Scotland. But my point here is that 20,000 to 26,000 really demonstrates that Scotland, and rather the Scottish Nationalist Party, was divided on this issue for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, one of Scotland's more well-known exports is stand-up comics. And I've seen a few of them say things to the tune of, whether you agree with the trans thing or not, England should not be able to do this to us. Like, there's a mm-hmm. strong Scottish independence attitude towards this, which is, regardless of the divisiveness, potentially, depending on where you are in the country, because it can be a pretty conservative country as well. A lot of them are just like, this is not fair, that's not what the relationship between Scotland and England is supposed to be. So we'll see how this plays out.
Absolutely. Well, that's all we have time for today. We're playing out with Nothing Lasts Forever by Mishi, and we will be back we'll be back next week, hopefully with a statement from Global Affairs Canada.
Would you stay with me if I say thank you?
Thank you, thank you.
Would you stay? Could you stay? I'll give you a million reasons why, if you would just stay with me. I would grow wings, I'd learn to fly, if you'd stay, could you stay? I'll take a trip back in time and space. I'll erase all trace of shadow, the rain of sun, the flame of seas, a shame, such a shame. And you and I are ships that were just passing by. Goodbye. Lullaby, lullaby, bye. Lullaby, lullaby, cry, lullaby. Lullaby, lullaby, bye. Stuck between